This is the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the latest Liverpool.com podcast here on the Blood Red channel. I'm Matt Addison, your host this week, with James Martin and Ben Boczak alongside me for today's episode. I've wanted to have a conversation around a couple of Liverpool-related managers for a couple of weeks, and this is the forum that I've chosen to do so on. We're going to talk a little bit around Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa, then a little bit more on Brendan Rodgers at Leicester, and a little bit of a different format to what we normally do on this show. Let's start with Steven Gerrard, though, James. I think the obvious sort of question mark, really, for me, amid a little bit of pressure on his shoulders, I think it's fair to say, is kind of what is the expectation at Aston Villa? They've got loads of money and loads of ambition, but then so do lots of other mid-table clubs.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. And I suppose there would have had to be that clarity on that before he took over the project. So I'm sure Gerrard knows better than most of the outside observers like ourselves in terms of what is expected of him. I'm sure, he's mentioned the European places as a sort of long-term aim. But like you say, there's plenty of clubs who have mentioned the European spaces as a long-term aim. The scale of investment at Aston Villa is probably higher. They're one of the richest owners going these days in the Premier League. You know, you've obviously got your Newcastles and your Man Cities in a class above, but yeah, a lot of investment has gone in at Aston Villa. So certainly longer term, you'd think the owners would be demanding at least a kind of Conference League spot as the target, but whether they give him time or whether that's you have to achieve it this season remains to be seen. You'd think that if they think he's the right man, they've got to give him time, because you know, even Newcastle, with all of the money that's been injected in there, they haven't overnight turned into a team that can reach those heights. So, yeah, it's not necessarily a mark against him if he doesn't get it in his first, you know, full season. But whether he gets a full season remains to be seen. He's probably taken some of the pressure off a little bit with the last two results. But, yeah, it's a results business. And at least until those two, he wasn't getting them.
Yeah, there's lots to kind of dive into around him. We'll talk about the signings and that kind of thing, the style of play as well in a second. But just to kind of continue along the same theme, Ben, I mean, he's spoken about the sort of need for a trophy at Aston Villa at certain points during his career. And I'm sure, you know, lots of Villa fans would love it if they had a big run to a cup final. But I think they've got Manchester United away in the Carabao Cup, which is hardly the easiest draw. And again, similar to the league position, there's probably lots of clubs who've got that ambition. I'm sure West Ham would love a trophy. I'm sure Newcastle would love a run. There's, I suppose, a simplicity to saying that is something that you'd like to achieve, but it's a lot harder to actually do that in practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even Liverpool have struggled in the Cups of late. Obviously not last season, but the season before. It's been difficult to get far in the Cup, and sometimes the scheduling doesn't really help some of the big teams as well. I mean, I'm sure with Aston Villa, that's not going to be an issue. Like you said, Manchester United is a tough draw as well. But again, you know, if the ambition is there, I think it's still possible for, in the early rounds at least, for Gerrard to pull off an upset. So maybe not necessarily as difficult. I think it's when you get to the latter stages, and if you get someone like Manchester City or Chelsea or Liverpool, and when those kind of teams do tend to take that competition seriously in the semi-finals, the quarter-finals maybe, then obviously that's going to be a challenge for him, because we haven't really seen Gerrard pull off an upset so far. I think in his whole managerial career, I mean, obviously he succeeded at Rangers, managed to win the title there, but when you look at his Europa League form, he hasn't really pulled off a result that would surprise you. He's always got the results that you'd expect them to get, and I think that's the same with Aston Villa. So far, he hasn't really necessarily caused an upset. I mean, he was very, very close on the final day, and we would have all loved it if that happened. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But yeah, I think with Gerrard, he's still got a lot to prove.
I think a big part of that as well, James, is kind of the style of play. I think obviously there are certain things that you can control and can't control. Manchester United away in the Cup is something that is completely random, and there's nothing he can do about it. But I think there's been a little bit of discontent kind of around the style of play, and not necessarily that it's a bad style of play, but just really that there isn't really one. It's not really something you'd associate with a manager that wants to get to the very top level. We know for example, how Jurgen Klopp's side looks. You know instinctively what a Pep Guardiola side looks. Lots of other managers you can say the same about, but it doesn't quite feel to me like he's maybe decided it, or if he has decided it, he's maybe not necessarily translated that onto the pitch just yet.
Yeah, I mean, just to give Stevie a little bit of credit, because it feels like we've been bashing him for a while, but I suppose he did get that draw against Man City, didn't he? It would have been nice if it had been last season rather than this one. But yeah, that would probably be filed in the upset column, but that is basically the only one that springs to mind. And yeah, the overall problems, it's harder to necessarily step around. I think you're right in terms of you couldn't necessarily pinpoint a style and say, that's the way Gerrard likes to play football. When he was at Rangers, there was a little bit of that there in the sense that it almost looked a bit like a Liverpool light, really, didn't it? With that kind of 4-3-3, it looked very much like he was auditioning for the role and doing quite well. And, you know, there is a case to be made that in terms of being a Liverpool manager, maybe being the Rangers manager, it's more, you know, useful data in the sense that it's a team that's likely to dominate most of the matches in the league. They go into every game with the expectation that they'll win. And, you know, they have to find a kind of dominant style of play to break down teams who may be trying to defend a bit more. So, you know, I still think all of that time north of the border is very relevant. I don't think we can just write it off if he struggles at Villa. And I think he'll be a name that continues to be in the frame when we're talking about Klopp successes for a long time to come. But yeah, it's been a bit chaotic at Villa, even in their win the other day. It wasn't necessarily clear what they were trying to do when they were on the ball. You know, moments of quality ended up deciding it. Jacob Ramsey, who we've talked about before, looks a very handy player. And that's probably been Gerrard's biggest success, is sort of getting the best out of him on an individual level. But yeah, tactically, it's hard to put your finger on what the big picture is.
I think it's hard to kind of tactically see that translating from Villa to Liverpool as well, Ben, because you think of Liverpool, particularly with Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, when they were at their best, they were a big source of goals, a big sort of outlet for Liverpool. You look at Aston Villa now and they don't really have wingers. They play with a lot of number 10s. They play very narrow. There's a certain style of play that Gerrard has got in that sense, but it doesn't feel quite like they've got the right balance within that squad. And when you consider how much they've spent and how many changes there have been in terms of the transfer window, it doesn't quite feel like he's still got the squad that he could probably get the best out of.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, Leon Bailey is a direct winger that you'd think of, but he doesn't necessarily get in the side. Obviously, at the start of Gerrard's campaign, at least anyway, he was always injured. Nowadays, he's playing at maybe a little bit more, but he's the only one who you could probably compare to Sadio Mane or Mohamed Salah, not in terms of quality for sure, but at least style of play for sure. And then the rest is Buendia, Coutinho, and you don't really see them as direct wingers. Obviously, Ollie Watkins as well, he's been playing on the wings at times, Danny Ings. So yeah, I think Gerrard has struggled with that. I think in terms of recruitment as well, he's been very unfortunate. Brought in Diego Carlos at centre-back. He got injured straight away, and I think he's out for pretty much the vast majority of the season that's remaining. So that was a huge blow. That was a big signing. It was meant to be a transformative signing in terms of shoring Villa up. And at least defensively, making sure they don't concede. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then I think Gerrard's plan has been good. You know, he's trying to create a really solid team. Bubakar Kamara has come in as well. Again, that points towards really solidifying that midfield and that Villa defence. But the problem has been that, unfortunately, injuries haven't helped him in that regard. And I think it is the right idea, though, because when you're an Aston Villa, you can't go all out attack and expect to get results. I think you do have to be wary of, you know, there's probably 8 or 9 teams in the Premier League who could beat you or who maybe should beat you as well. So you do need to be wary of those things. And I think in that sense, Gerrard has made the right steps. He's just been incredibly unfortunate with his signings.
In terms of the transfers, James, obviously Diego Carlos, he couldn't do a great deal about that. He'd obviously made a big thing of the captaincy and Tyrone Mings and all of that, and that probably didn't help when the injury happens as well in terms of his decision-making there. But there's been one or two other signings as well. I don't think Coutinho necessarily has worked particularly well so far. There's a couple of big names that he's got in. It kind of feels to me like they've got to find a way of getting the best out of those players. That's kind of what his success is going to hinge on. If he gets the best out of them, they'll do well. And if he doesn't, the pressure is going to invite itself very, very quickly.
Yeah, definitely. And it's easy to point at the whole Diego Carlos situation. And like that was my inclination too before I sort of maybe looked into it a little bit more. But like the defence has been okay this season. It's still not been great. And in an ideal world, I don't think Gerrard would be playing Tyrone Mings. So I agree to that extent. But their defensive record is basically where you'd expect them to be, kind of very mid-table, you know, maybe slightly worse than they'd like. But they're not shipping goals at a hugely alarming rate. And if that was sort of married to the attacking output that probably the individual personnel should be getting, if they were in a system that was getting the best out of them, then Villa would be in a much better place than they currently are. So, yeah, I think you're right in terms of it's about making those signings click. I mean, Coutinho in particular, when he came in January, there was certainly a period of time where he really lifted them up a level and everything was rosy. But it's particularly since that's become permanent. I mean, he was maybe tapering off towards the back end of last season anyway. I mean, obviously he contributed in that City game, got a goal in that one, but that was maybe a bit of an outlier towards the end of last season. But particularly in this campaign, I mean, some games he's been benched even, which, you know, for a player who's going to be, you know, I'm almost certain he'll be the highest earner there, but, you know, he's certainly the most marquee name. For him to be sort of peripheral and not being able to influence things, but yeah, it is a bit of an indictment of the signing, particularly when, you know, looking at the context of Gerrard and Coutinho, you can be pretty sure that's a Gerrard signing rather than one that's come from above. So, yeah, he kind of has to live and die on getting the most out of particularly the players that he's selected.
Yeah, he's been a bit unlucky as well, I think, in that the City draw that you referenced before, the Coutinho goal that was wrongly ruled out when it wasn't offside, and it could have been a little bit different had that been the case. But I suppose just looking ahead a little bit, Ben, assuming, as we have to at this point, that Steven Gerrard is still Aston Villa manager, there has been a few question marks, but I think those have maybe gone away a little bit in the last few days. If he is going to be Villa manager for the rest of this season, Leeds and Nottingham Forest, their next two, they feel fairly winnable, but it is going to be, I think, a big period between this international break and the World Cup. They do need to start to get a few results there for him to really get his teeth into this project long term.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. Obviously, he really needs to make a mark now at Villa. He had that early momentum when he took over where you could kind of see where Villa were going. Right now, it doesn't, you don't really know where they're going to finish, where they're going to end up. And that's why it's important to get some results and to get the fans behind you again, get their confidence up, and also the boardroom as well, to show them that there is still potential there and he does have some good ideas. And I think that will be his goal during the international week and in the next fixtures ahead. Like you mentioned, those are winnable games and he really should be getting a result. And I think if he doesn't get at least 4 points from those games, then it's harsh to say, but I think maybe a sacking is warranted, or at least it should be in discussion, because Villa have been really poor since the start of the season and even towards the end of last season as well.
Yeah, it feels a bit to me like the international break could be a big moment really for him. If he does manage to survive, he could sort of use this time really wisely to sort of invest in the players that are not away on international duty. Obviously, Neil Critchley there as well with him with Liverpool links. Hopefully he can help him turn the situation around as well. But just before we move on from Steven Gerrard and move on to Brendan Rodgers, I'm going to ask you both the same question. James, I'll come to you first on it. It's a simple question, but maybe less simple to answer. Are you more or less convinced now of Steven Gerrard one day becoming Liverpool manager than what you were when he first took over at Aston Villa?
You'd probably have to say less. It's harsh because, I mean, for what I was saying earlier in terms of the expectations have changed pretty drastically from being a Rangers manager to being the Villa manager. His things like win percentage were always going to drop. So, you know, I think Liverpool would have been aware of that. So they're not going to have been alarmed by the fact that he's winning fewer games. That's just par for the course. But I suppose, like we were saying, with the manner of some of those defeats, the potential lack of tactical identity, I'd say those are the more kind of long-term worrying things. But what you'd also say is it's still a very young manager. This is still very early in his managerial career. So I still haven't seen anything which would say, no, I don't want him anymore. Like, he's out of the frame entirely. But yeah, in terms of whether my confidence has gone up or down, yeah, I'm probably less confident than I was that he could be the right man.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you, to be honest. I think it's kind of, it showed me really that there definitely has to be another step. It can't be Villa to Liverpool. There's got to be something in between, but quite what that is, I'm not too sure. But Ben, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think he still needs time. I think, unfortunately, in this modern age, you don't really get it. But if you look at Graham Potter when he first arrived at Brighton, he took a while to get going. Obviously, he didn't have the same financial support as Gerrard did initially. So I don't necessarily think I've changed my mind. I always thought that he would need another step. So I think I'm kind of still in the same boat. What has appealed to me and what I like about Gerrard is the pool that he has with the players he's been able to bring to Aston Villa. And when you watch those interviews, they will always mention, oh, it's because I came here because I wanted to work with Steven Gerrard. I wanted to, you know, work with him. And because of his name, I think that's something very encouraging, because when you look at the kind of players Liverpool attracts and their reasons for coming to the club, it's always because of Jurgen Klopp. So in terms of that, those comparisons, I think that's something that I didn't necessarily notice when he was at Rangers, but has become pretty clear to me since he's arrived at Aston Villa. And he's obviously brought in some talented players like Diego Carlos. I think it was a major coup. You wouldn't really have expected Felipe Coutinho to rock up at Aston Villa before as well. So yeah, I think in terms of that, I think that's encouraging from a Liverpool perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That is an important point, isn't it, for Liverpool in terms of the attracting players and all of that sort of thing. And in some ways, some might say that leads quite nicely on to Brendan Rodgers. I think that was something that he perhaps struggled with, certainly at the start of his time at Liverpool, if not towards the end as well. But just wanted to have a quick sort of conversation around him as well, James. It's not been the best sort of start to the season for them. I think they're bottom of the Premier League. They've been heavily beaten a couple of times already so far this season. But I suppose then Brendan Rodgers might turn around and say, well, we did basically nothing in the transfer market in the summer. What do you expect?
Yeah, he could very validly say that. But I suppose the response would be, how have we ended up with another Brendan Rodgers versus the ball dream situation? You know, if it happens once, you maybe say, okay, well, maybe it's the fault of the owners. If it happens two or three times, you start to think, well, okay, is this a manager who can sort of work within a framework? It's harsh to say, because any manager would struggle with the complete lack of investment. I think the goalkeeper situation is the most bizarre of the lot. I mean, Kasper Schmeichel, had he declined slightly from his peak? Yes, probably. And, you know, he's 35 now, but he was, you know, one of their better performers still, especially when the backup is Danny Ward, who is still entirely unproven at senior level. You know, he's played for Wales a bit, but he went to Leicester on the back of being Liverpool's, well, briefly number two, mostly number three. And then, so yeah, it was a massive gamble, and it's not worked at all so far. You wouldn't pin all of the blame at his door, but, you know, in terms of things like expected goals conceded, you know, he's let in far more than he should have done. And like you say, there's been a couple of heavy defeats in there. So you do have to look at that. He's almost got the reverse problem of Gerrard, in the sense that the attack still seems to be relatively okay, but the defence is just, it's pretty shambolic. And yeah, I suppose Rodgers has always been more of an attacking coach, but when the opponents are routinely getting in that easily, yeah, you've got a big problem.
I have to say, quite a big fan of Brendan Rodgers. I do like what he tries to do, Ben, but at the same time, there is a little bit of a pattern forming now, I think, where it starts quite well. He gets a couple of his way in terms of the transfers, and eventually it just seems to tail off. We saw that at Liverpool. We're seeing it now again with Leicester. There is a bit of a concern, I think, for me, in terms of his kind of longevity. He seems to get to a certain point, and it tends to tail off at that point.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I like Brendan Rodgers' style of play. When he first came to Liverpool, I think that was the initial attraction for me. Nice possession-based football, the tiki-taka style of play. And I think he does deliver that fairly successfully. at the clubs he's been at. But the issue for me with Rodgers has always been his personality. And, you know, when you're a coach, you can be a good coach, but you're not necessarily a good manager. And I think that seems to come through with his struggles in terms of his man management and in terms of obviously his dealings with the board as well. At the same time, you will have to say, I think he has been incredibly unfortunate in terms of how the board have treated him this summer, letting some of your key players go and not really offering up a replacement or necessarily an adequate replacement. That's a huge concern, and I think that's part of the reason why Leicester are struggling, because Wesley Fofana, for example, and Kasper Schmeichel were the linchpins of his side, and they've just been sort of stripped away, and you haven't really had anyone come in who is of similar quality, at least, like James mentioned, Danny Ward, but even at centre back. And I think that's a lot of their struggles. But at the same time, you look at that squad, and they shouldn't really be sitting at the bottom of the Premier League. That's still a fairly good enough squad, and they should be doing a lot better than they are. And I think maybe part of it is because Rodgers has kind of fallen out of love with Leicester, and then I think then if that's the case, then that's not necessarily the right. You shouldn't really continue in that path. I don't know if this is a trend, if this is a path. I mean, at Liverpool, that certainly felt like the case towards the end of his time there. It certainly felt like he was kind of falling out of touch with the supporters, with the connection with the club. You know, I think around that time, you had a lot less supporters going to games, from what I remember. And Klopp revived that. He brought back the passion into the game. That was Klopp's first statement, like, you need to, you know, bring the supporters on side again. And I think at Leicester, it's the same. He's kind of lost touch with the fans. And with Celtic, I'm not as familiar, but I suspect that was also the case there.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. I think they've invested a lot, certainly in the training ground. They're a bit hamstrung in terms of what they can do with FFP. They've spent quite a lot on wages. They're trying to redo the stadium as well, I think, as well. So it is a tricky one, James. But in terms of sort of Brendan Rodgers, I mean, what do you think? It almost feels to me inevitable that he's going to sort of move on at some point. There's been a couple of bits that he said in his press conferences and things like that, almost a little bit the same as what Scott Parker did, and kind of almost giving up in the media publicly and gave his club no choice. It kind of feels like Brendan Rodgers is going down that pathway with Leicester already.
Yeah, potentially. And to be fair, some of the FFP stuff, you would look at earlier signings that have been made in previous windows that haven't necessarily worked out. You don't know which ones are Rodgers signings and which ones are board signings, but you feel like that dynamic may well be at play again. You look at someone like a Vestergaard, and of course this is from the outside looking in, so it may be that the board were desperate to go for Vestergaard, and maybe they pointed him out to Rodgers, but it does have the kind of feel of the sort of stuff that happens at Liverpool where Rodgers has a feel of who he wants to be his man and brings him in, and then that one hasn't necessarily worked out, for example. And then someone like Patson Daka, who of course Liverpool were linked with for a little while, he seems like maybe in terms of the data, the better signing, but then maybe for whatever reason, Rodgers isn't keen. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes there, but it seems to be Vardy at 35, 36 is still the one getting the vast majority of the games. So it does just always seem to be that friction that seems to follow him around, and that translates into what you were saying in the kind of press conferences as well. I think he's been quite good with it on the whole this summer, in terms of, like Ben was saying, how he's got essentially no backing whatsoever from the board, and he hasn't completely come out and slated them. It's probably been a little bit more subtle than Scott Parker was, which may be why he still has his job for the time being. But yeah, it does feel like it's heading down a path that, whether it's him leaving or them getting rid of him, it feels like sooner rather than later we could see some movement there.
He is still a very good coach, though. And I mean, if he was to lose his job, Ben, in terms of Brendan Rodgers, I suppose there's still going to be a long career ahead of him. I don't think this is sort of the end for him. His reputation would still be pretty high. I mean, where could you see him going after Leicester? It sort of feels like it would have to be a step down again in terms of the kind of club and the way that they've been over the last couple of years. It's hard to kind of know where the next stepping stone might be for him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I agree. I think he's a really good coach, and obviously he's very young in terms of being a coach. He's still relatively, I think he's in his early 50s now, or maybe not even that, from what I remember. So he's still got plenty of years left at the top of the game. I mean, if you look at some of the coaches in world football at around the same age, they haven't achieved half of what he has done. And for that, you have to give him credit. In terms of where I see him next, I mean, I think Rodgers has always been someone like who's taken an unexpected path. Like, for example, after leaving Liverpool, you wouldn't have kind of expected him to join Celtic. That was kind of unorthodox in a way. I thought he'd end up, you know, going to West Brom or somewhere like that. And I think I would love to see him going to Europe and trying out his sort of like his managerial skills there. Somewhere like a German in Germany in the Bundesliga, I think that would suit him well. Obviously, he's a big fan of Spanish football, so anywhere in Spain that could also work. Either Spain or Germany. I'm trying to think of clubs but I can't really think of a specific club. I know Sevilla need a manager, or they're kind of struggling at the moment. I'd love to see that. That would be, I think, a good match.
Yeah, important to remember as well. You mentioned his age before. He's not 50 until January, and that's only a couple of years older, I should say, than Graham Potter. So I think there's a bit of a difference in the perceptions there. But I suppose interesting times then, just to finish with you, James, interesting times for both managers, really. Hopefully neither of them have been sacked by the time we get round to publishing this podcast. But obviously Thomas Tuchel has gone already this season. It won't be the last manager to go across the course of the campaign. But it's a bit of a strange one in terms of the sackings as well. Normally we see those happening in international breaks. But of course, one of the international breaks this season is quite literally a World Cup. So it's a strange season in that way as well.
A strange season in many ways, for sure. But yeah, interesting times, I think, is the way to describe it. It's maybe a shame for Rodgers that the sackings haven't quite lined up. Maybe if they, you know, got rid of him a bit earlier, or, you know, I know they haven't got rid of him, but if they decided to a couple of weeks ago, perhaps Brighton would have been in the frame, and you would have said maybe that would have been a nice fit. They've now appointed someone. De Zerbi, from he was previously at Shakhtar, looks like an interesting appointment as well. So be keen to see how that pans out. But it would have been a chance for Rodgers. It's hard to know what comes next. I'm with Ben. It would be fun to see him go onto the continent somewhere. But yeah, it's a weird season. It's going to be weird going forward. The goal for Gerrard, and I suppose for Rodgers, will be to still be in those jobs come the World Cup. And then yeah, they'll probably get a bit of a reset. You can't see either of them being sacked during the World Cup. So then come back, have a whole sort of mini pre-season. Both of those clubs have the advantage that they won't have too many players going off to the World Cup, at least compared to the elite teams. So yeah, maybe if they can survive that long, then they'll get a bit of a reset. And who knows, maybe we'll be having a very different podcast in a few months' time. But yeah, for the moment, they're both having some struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty for both of them to think about over the course of the next few weeks. Thank you very much to James and to Ben for joining me on today's show, and to you at home, of course, as well, for listening. We'll have loads more stuff in all the usual places over the course of the next week and a half or so until Liverpool play again. Make sure you're across all of that to fill the gap in the Premier League schedule. For now, though, that's all we've got time for. So until next time, it's goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.